Okay, this Conquest to Captivity series lasted just a little bit over a year, doing it once a week. We missed a few Wednesdays over the year, but last time I think I said we've covered almost a millennium of history during this time. Actually, I did the math this week, and it's just short of a millennium, but it's 824 years of history that we've covered during this. This is a review tonight because we finished both 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles last time. So this is a review of the whole thing. Now, obviously, we're looking at Joshua all the way through 2 Chronicles. And the best review we could do would just be to read all of that tonight. But we'd still be reading way after it was time for you to go home. So we're not going to do that. But I encourage you to do it on your own, to read back through that entire portion of your Bible. What I've done to review tonight is I've given you a tool in your notes, and I do want to tell you this was a lot of work to put this together. And you will find timelines in various sources, but you won't find any timeline that goes through all of these dates. And I've only listed dates on here that we know. So if you say, well, in this review, we're skipping over a lot of the events that have happened. Well, that's for two reasons. One is we don't have time to do everything tonight. And two, the events that I've skipped over do not have dates that we can determine from the Bible as specifically as the ones that are on here, although you can take those portions and kind of fit them in between the dates that are on here. So this is a tool that you can't buy one. You won't be able to find it anywhere else. And I took all of these dates, if you've kept the notes from Wednesday nights over the last year, all of these dates are in the notes. But what I've done here is I've put them all into more or less a timeline of this whole thing. And if you will read in your Bible in kind of the order of the way the passages are listed, because all the passages from Joshua all the way through 2 Chronicles are in here. But in this list, they are there in chronological order. So, and that is not always the way you find them organized in your Bible. But if you read them from this, you'll go, you know what? This actually tells a whole story of history. So, there can be two ways you can listen to this tonight. One way is to basically follow along with me as I read this list tonight. The other way is to not follow along from the list, but just to open your Bible and keep sort of looking at it and thumbing through it as we go. But realize we're going to be going very quickly. Okay? So, it was 1405 BC when this account began. That was when Moses died, and this is Joshua chapters 1 through 12. Moses died. Joshua was commissioned. Joshua chapter 1. The Jordan River crossing, and then all of the various conquest campaigns of Joshua leading the people throughout the land and them taking it. And we won't review all that tonight, but read the first 12 chapters of Joshua. By the time you get to Joshua chapter 13, we see that the land now that has been basically conquered, although, as we've pointed out many times, they did not destroy all of the various nations that they encountered when they came into the land. And they should have, because the Lord told them to. But by 1399 BC, they began apportioning the land and preparing for settlement. And a lot is involved there, but you could see the division of land for all the different tribes in that section. And Joshua's renewal of the covenant and preparation for settlement in the land. So that's from Joshua 13 all the way through Joshua chapter 22. In 1375 BC, that is when Joshua died. Joshua 23 and 24. And after Joshua died, didn't take very long for Israel to begin to fall into that failure cycle that we talked about in Judges chapters 1 and 2. And so you might recall that the Lord would raise up a judge and Israel would have success and revival and peace most of the times. And then after a very short period of time, Israel again compromised, fell into idolatry, and then would experience war or captivity or something. And then the Lord would raise up another judge, and so you had this continuing cycle that went round and round. In 1353 BC, Othniel was the first judge. Judges 3:1-11. And during Othniel's judgeship was the time of the Danite migration and idolatry. That is, the tribe of Dan began to encroach on some of the other tribes in the north and fell into idolatry, and that's Judges 17 and 18. We studied that. That is one of the reasons why in some later lists of tribes, including the list in the book of Revelation, you don't see the tribe of Dan mentioned as one of the 12 tribes. So that occurred during Othniel's reign. Othniel died. Israel fell back into the cycle of failure. And then the Lord raised up Ehud and Shamgar, Judges 3:12-31. That's 1313 BC. After them, again, the cycle of failure, and the Lord raised up Deborah and her co-military leader, Barak, as judges. That's Judges chapter 4 and 5. That was in 1215 BC. During the time of Deborah and Barak was the Benjamite War in Judges chapters 19 through 21. By the way, the Danite migration and the Benjamite War are both included in the book of Judges as appendices to the book of Judges. What I've done here is put them where they would fit chronologically. So that's where Judges 19 through 21 would fit. After Deborah and Barak, again, the cycle of failure, and the Lord raised up Gideon, 1148 BC, in Judges 6 through 8, and during the judgeship of Gideon is when the events of the book of Ruth occurred. So when you're reading Judges 6 through 8, that is also the time to read the book of Ruth, which we did. Again, the cycle of failure. Abimelech was not really raised up. He kind of asserted himself and wanted to make himself king. So he was not the best of the judges. But that's 1108 BC, Judges chapter 9. After Abimelech were Tola and Jair, who both began in 1105 BC. That's Judges chapter 10. During their time is when Samuel was born. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2. Samuel was born in 1085 BC. Again, the cycle of failure. And 1082 BC, the Lord raised up Jephthah, Judges 11 and 12. During the time of Jephthah is when Saul was born, 1080 BC. 1076 BC, Ibzan becomes the judge, Judges 12, 8 through 10. Following Ibzan was Elon in 1069 BC, Judges 12, 11 and 12. And 1069 BC is also when Samson began judging in Judges 13 through 15 in a different part of the country than Elon, but at the same time. 1059 BC, Abdon became the judge, Judges 12, 13 through 15, and Samson continued. In 1058 BC, Samuel, in Ramla, began judging, 1 Samuel 3 through 7. And in 1050 BC, Saul was made king. You'll remember, at the request of the people, he was made king, 1 Samuel 8 through 12. It was a year after Saul became king that Samson died, Judges chapter 16, 1049 BC. So Saul is now king. Samuel is still judging, but Samuel is the last of the judges. And that basically finished the book of Judges. 1040 BC, 10 years into Saul's reign, David was born, 1 Chronicles 1 through 9. So Saul was about 50, I believe, when David was born. So Saul had a lot of years on David. In 1025 BC, and this date is approximate, my guess is it may have been a little earlier than 1025 BC, but that was when Saul was presumptive and disobedient, his kind of partial obedience to the Lord. And you'll remember the anointing for kingship departed from Saul. At the same time, David was first anointed by Samuel for kingship. So all of this is 1 Samuel 13 through 27. And by the way, there's quite the story in there of Saul chasing David around all over the place, and David hiding out, and David sparing Saul's life a few times, and those kinds of things. In 1013 BC, that's also approximate. It may have been a year or so later than that, but it's pretty close anyway. That's when Samuel died. 1 Samuel 25:1, and it's recorded again in 28:3. 1010 BC is when Saul was with the witch at Endor, and you recall that whole time. By the way, Samuel had to have died before that, because Samuel got called up from the dead to appear. That's also when Saul and Jonathan died. And we see all that in 1 Samuel 28 through 31, 2 Samuel chapter 1, also 1 Chronicles chapter 10. And that is when David's second anointing at Hebron as king of Judah occurred, 2 Samuel 2 through 4. So Saul died. David is king now at Hebron. In 1003 BC is David's third anointing as king over all Israel, not just Judah, over all Israel at Jerusalem, 2 Samuel 5 through 10 and 1 Chronicles 11 through 20. And there are many accounts of David and his acts and his family and all that in those passages. 993 BC, so 10 years later, is David's sin with Bathsheba, 2 Samuel 11 and 12. In 992 is when David and Bathsheba's baby would have died. And then 991 BC is when Solomon was born, 2 Samuel 12, 24 and 25. 981 BC, Absalom died, And there is a whole account in there, 2 Samuel 13 through 19, of Absalom's hurt resulting from David's sin with Bathsheba and the damage that that did to all of David's family, including deaths and killings involved. But Absalom died in 981 BC. Then in 970 BC, David died. So you can compute their ages from all of this. David died. Solomon was established as king. 2 Samuel 20 through 24, 1 Chronicles 21 through 29, and 1 Kings 1 through 4. So at this point, we've now looked at what we've done in 1 and 2 Samuel, and we have looked at most of 1 Chronicles in this period of time, and we're now into 1 Kings, chapters 1 through 4. 966 BC, on May 14th, 966 BC, Solomon began the temple construction, 1 Kings 5 through 7, 2 Chronicles 1 through 4. 958 BC, Solomon dedicated the temple on May 7th, and that's 1 Kings 8 through 10, 2 Chronicles 5 through 9, and there's a record there of Solomon's prayer, the celebration, and all that occurred in the dedication of the temple. In 953 BC, Solomon's palace was completed, 1 Kings chapter 7. By 946 BC, and by the way, we read a number of Solomon's accomplishments and relationships around the world, including the Queen of Sheba, during those portions. But by 1 Kings chapter 11 in 946 BC, we see the beginning of Solomon's downfall because of all of his wives and their false gods. 931 BC is Solomon's death. The division of the kingdom. Solomon's son Rehoboam became the king of Judah, while Jeroboam, not related, became king of Israel. That's 1 Kings 11 through 14 and 2 Chronicles 9 through 12. In 926 BC, under the reign of Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, invaded Jerusalem. That's 1 Kings 14, 25 through 28, and 2 Chronicles 12, 2 through 4. In 913 BC, Rehoboam died, and his son Abijam became king of Judah. 1 Kings 14:31-15:8, 2 Chronicles 12:16-14:1. And you do know we are distinguishing now, as we've done, Judah is the south. Israel is the north. So after 931 B.C., Israel does not refer to the whole of the people. Israel refers to the northern tribes. Judah refers to the southern tribes. So Rehoboam was king of Judah, and his son Abijam became king of Judah. 2 years later, 911, actually 3 years later, but it counts 913 and 911. Abijam died, and his son Asa became king of Judah. 1 Kings 15:8-24, 2 Chronicles 14:1-16:14. In 910 B.C., Jeroboam in the north died, and his son Nadab became king of Israel. 1 Kings 14:19-20 and 15:25-31. In 909 B.C., Nadab was killed by Baasha, who became king of Israel. 1 Kings 15:27-16:7. 886 B.C., Baasha died, and his son Elah became king of Israel in the north. 1 Kings 16:6-14. 885 B.C., Elah was killed by Zimri, who became king of Israel. 1 Kings 16:9-20. Zimri committed suicide after reigning only 7 days. And then Tibni and Omri became dueling kings, competitive kings of Israel. 1 Kings 16:21-22. In 883 B.C., Tibni died, and then Omri was the sole king of Israel. 1 Kings 16:22-28. And Omri was the one who really turned Israel into a Baal dynasty. In 874 B.C., Omri died, and his son Ahab became king of Israel. 1 Kings 16:28-22:40, and that is also the year Elijah's ministry begins. You know, a lot of Elijah's ministry was with Ahab. In 873 B.C., Jehoshaphat, back in the south, in Jerusalem, started as co-regent with his father Asa as king of Judah. 1 Kings 15:23-24. It was 870 BC when Elijah confronted the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel. 1 Kings 18. That's also the year that in the south, Asa, king of Judah, died, and his son Jehoshaphat became the sole king of Judah. 1 Kings 22 and 2 Chronicles chapter 17 through 20. 864 BC is when Elijah recruited Elisha to go with him everywhere. 853 BC, Ahab was killed in battle, and his son Ahaziah became king of Israel. 1 Kings 22 and 2 Kings 1. And that's where we're finished with 1 Kings and moving on to 2 Kings. 852 BC, Ahaziah died. His brother Jehoram became king of Israel in the north. And that is the year Elijah was taken to heaven in a whirlwind. 2 Kings chapters 1 and 2. So then Elisha has inherited Elijah's mantle. By 848 BC, Elisha raised the Shunammite's son from death. There were a number of other miracles between 852 and 848 BC. But he raised the Shunammite son from death, and the 7-year famine began in Israel. 2 Kings 3 through 8. 848 BC is also when Jehoshaphat in the south died, Jerusalem, and his son Joram became king of Judah. 2 Kings 8, 16 through 24, 2 Chronicles 21. In 841 BC, the famine ends. Joram, king of Judah, died, and his son Ahaziah became king of Judah. Jehu killed both Ahaziah, king of Judah, and Jehoram, king of Israel. And then Jehu, as prophesied originally by Elijah, was made king of Israel. And in the south, when Ahaziah was killed, Athaliah, who was a daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, but had been married to Jehoshaphat, she became queen in Judah that same year. So all of this is 2 Kings 8 through 11 and 2 Chronicles 21 through 23. In 835 BC, Athaliah, the queen in Jerusalem, was killed, and Jehoash, or Joash, became king of Judah. 2 Kings 11 and 12, 2 Chronicles 23 and 24. In 814 BC, Jehu in the north, in Israel, died, and his son Jehoahaz became king of Israel. 2 Kings 13, 1 through 9. 798 BC, Jehoahaz died, and his son Jehoash became king of Israel. 2 Kings 13, 10 through 25. 796 BC, Jehoash, king of Judah, was killed, and his son Amaziah became king of Judah. So this is in the south. 2 Kings 12, 20 through 21, and 14, 1 through 22, also 2 Chronicles 25. In 795 BC, Elisha died. 2 Kings 13, 20 and 21. 794 BC, Hazael, king of Syria, died, and his son Ben-Hadad II became king of Syria. 2 Kings 13, 22 to 25. 790 BC, Amaziah, the king of Judah, was disgraced in defeat, and his son Uzziah reigned as co-regent with Amaziah over Judah. 2 Kings 14, 11 through 14, 2 Chronicles 25, 20 through 24. 782 BC, Jehoash, king of Israel, died, and his son Jeroboam II became king of Israel. 2 Kings 13, 13, 14, 16, and 23 through 29. 767 BC, Amaziah, king of Judah, was killed, and his son Uzziah continued as sole king of Judah. So he moves from co-regent to sole king in 767. 2 Kings 14, 21 and 22, 15, 1 through 7, and 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 753 BC, Jeroboam II died. This is in the north. And his son Zechariah became king of Israel. 2 Kings 14, 23 to 29. 752 BC, Zechariah was killed by Shalom after only a 6-month reign. Shalom was king of Israel for 1 month and was killed by Menahem, who then became king of Israel. So all that's in 752 BC, 2 Kings 15, 8 through 22. 750 BC, Uzziah in the south was stricken with leprosy, and his son Jotham began to rule as co-regent over Judah. 2 Kings 15:4 through 7, 2 Chronicles 26:19 through 23. 742 BC, Menahem, king of Israel, died, and his son Pekahiah became king of Israel. 2 Kings 15:22 to 26. 740 BC, Pekahiah, king of Israel, was killed by Pekah, who had actually been competing for the throne of Israel since 752 BC, and he finally took it. 2 Kings 15:25 through 31. Now back in the south, 739 BC, Uzziah died, and Jotham now ruled Judah as sole king. 2 Kings 15:32 to 38, 2 Chronicles 27:1 through 9. 732 BC, Pekah, king of Israel, was killed by Hoshea, who took over as king of Israel. 2 Kings 15:30 through 31 and 17:1 and 2. In 731 BC, Jotham in the south, king of Judah, died, and his son Ahaz became king of Judah. 2 Kings 16 and 2 Chronicles 28. 729 BC, Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, became co-regent over Judah along with his father Ahaz, 2 Kings 18:1. In 727 BC, Tiglath-Pileser III died. He was the king of Assyria. And Shalmaneser V became the new emperor of Assyria. And Shalmaneser V made Hoshea, the king of Israel, his slave. 2 Kings 17:3. 725 BC, Assyria besieged Samaria. 2 Kings 17:4 and 5. And in 722 BC, Israel was carried away into Assyrian captivity, including Hoshea, the king of Israel, who was never heard from again at that point. So that was 722 BC, 2 Kings 17:6 through 41. So that is the end of the northern kingdom of Israel. 715 BC then, in the south, Ahaz died, and Hezekiah, who had been co-regent, continued to reign as sole king of Judah, enjoying a time of great revival. 2 Kings 16:19 and 20, and 18:2 through 12, 2 Chronicles chapters 29 through 31. In 701 BC was Hezekiah's illness, his healing, and the miraculous sign. You know, remember the shadow going back 10 steps? That was 701 BC. Also 701 BC, shortly after that miraculous sign, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, besieged Jerusalem, but was supernaturally defeated by the angel of the Lord. 2 Kings 18:13 through 20:19 and 2 Chronicles chapter 32. In 695 BC, Manasseh became co-regent of Judah with his father Hezekiah. 2 Kings 21:1, 2 Chronicles 33:1. In 686 BC, Hezekiah died. Manasseh became sole king of Judah. 2 Kings 20 and 20 verses 20 and 21, and 2 Chronicles 32:32 through 33:20. 650 BC, Manasseh was captured by the Assyrians and imprisoned in Babylon. You'll remember Manasseh had been so wicked and idolatrous. But in 650 BC, he was captured and imprisoned in Babylon. He prayed and was delivered and was a changed man after that. 2 Chronicles 33:11 through 17. 642 BC, Manasseh died. His son Amon became king of Judah. 2 Kings 21:17 through 26 and 2 Chronicles 33:18 through 25. Manasseh's change just wasn't enough to convince Amon, who just continued in utter wickedness. 640 BC, Amon was murdered, and his son Josiah was made king of Judah. 2 Kings 21:23 through 26 and 22:1 and 2, 2 Chronicles 33:24 and 25 and 34:1 and 2. 632 BC, Josiah begins reformation in Jerusalem. 2 Chronicles 34:3 through 7. 622 BC, Josiah begins temple repair, and as they're beginning to do it, the book of the law, the scroll, was discovered. There was a great reaction on Josiah's part. They sought prophetic help from the prophetess Huldah. There was covenant renewal and great revival, all of that in 622 BC. 2 Kings 22:3 through 23:27 and 2 Chronicles 34:8 through 35:19. 609 BC, Josiah was killed by Pharaoh Necho of Egypt, and Jehoahaz, his son, was made king, but was carried off by Pharaoh Necho after only 3 months. Then Jehoahaz's older brother, Eliakim, was made king of Judah by Pharaoh Necho, who changed Eliakim's name to Jehoiakim. 2 Kings 23:28 through 37 and 2 Chronicles 35:20 through 36:5. Under Jehoiakim, 605 BC, the first deportation of Jews to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar occurred, 2 Kings 21 or 24, 1 through 4, and 2 Chronicles 36, 6 and 7. And Daniel was included in that first deportation, Daniel 1, 1 through 4. That's in 605 BC. In 597 BC, Jehoiakim was killed, and his son Coniah, also known as Jehoiakim, became king of Judah. Jehoiakim was the last Davidic king, and he was deported to Babylon in the second deportation after only 3 months and 10 days of ruling. And then that same year, 597 BC, Nebuchadnezzar appointed his own uncle, Mattaniah, as king of Judah and changed his uncle's name to Zedekiah. 2 Kings 24, 5 through 20, 2 Chronicles 36, 8 through 12, and Jeremiah chapters 22, 34, 39, 51, and 52. So Jehoiakim was the last Davidic king. Zedekiah was not a descendant of David. Jehoiakim, by the way, was treated well eventually in Babylonian captivity. 586 BC, under Zedekiah, who had rebelled against his nephew Nebuchadnezzar, the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, and the third deportation to Babylon, which included almost everybody else except for basically the poor and the unskilled. So the Babylonians took anybody of wealth, skill, or influence. They would have said, "We left all the losers behind." You know. Gedaliah, that same year, was appointed by Nebuchadnezzar as a puppet governor of Judah. He lasted less than 2 months. 2 Kings 25, 2 Chronicles 36, 13 through 22. And that ends the journey. That is the beginning of the Babylonian captivity. There was a fourth deportation in 581 BC, and that's listed in Jeremiah 52, verse 30. So, we've done this as quickly as we could. I hope when you see it put together, you do realize it tells an amazing story, doesn't it? You know, This is quite a history. And from the beginning, if Joshua and all the others had wiped out the peoples of the nations around them, this story wouldn't have gone the way it went, would it? Israel in the north would have never embraced Baal worship. The wickedness of the nations in the south would not have caused the wickedness of the kings. You know, all of this is the story of how partial obedience, incomplete obedience to what the Lord has to say does not have a good ending. Didn't have a good ending for Saul, did it? And it didn't have a good ending for Israel or Judah, either one. So that is the account of 824 years of history. There you go. Heavenly Father, help us tonight to not only hear and know and learn this history and the events that occurred in it, but Lord, help us to learn the lessons that what you say in your word really matters for the future of an individual or the future of a church or the future of a nation. And Lord, we do have the concerns even tonight that what had been entrusted to America has long since been squandered, and now America is just surviving on the fumes of past days when your word was considered so very central to us. And Lord, those fumes are evaporating very quickly now. So we realize that without the raising up of some kind of judge or some kind of king like Hezekiah or Josiah, Lord, without raising up godly leadership for revival, apart from that, the days are very, very, very short. And so, Lord, we pray for people tonight. We pray for the salvation of people, knowing that the time of the rapture is soon. We pray for our country tonight, realizing what will happen in it, maybe the moment after the rapture. Lord, we pray for the nations of the world and for the work of the Great Commission around the world, that many men, women, boys, girls around the world will be saved before it is for them too late. Holy Spirit, be our indwelling prayer partner as we pray. Lord Jesus, you are our ascended prayer partner as we pray tonight. And so we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.